Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media.
Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
You know, I went to college in New York. I was a student with a very limited budget to spend on food, and I just kind of started, without trying to like have a philosophy or be part of a thing, just shopping at the green market.
And now Rebecca Lando has a successful series of cooking videos and a cookbook. She's a working class foodie, and we've got her on the show today. Michelle Pruitt introduces us to a few of the pigs at Uplands Peak Sanctuary. Perhaps you've seen the non-GMO label on some packaged foods in the grocery store lately. Harvest Public Media tells us what hoops companies have to jump through to get that classification. And ever had lamb ribs? It's one of Chef Bob Adkins' favorites. His recipe today is something amazing. 2015 is underway. Some food news stories from the first few days of the new year with Luann Johnson.
On the first day of the 2015 legislative session in Indiana this week, a state senator introduced legislation that would require the labeling of foods containing genetically modified organisms. Senator Dennis Cruz, a Republican from Auburn, introduced a bill that would require all food, quote, entirely or partially produced with genetic engineering, unquote, to be labeled as such, effective July 2016. To date, Vermont, Connecticut, and Maine have passed legislation requiring foods containing GMOs to be labeled, but the laws in both Connecticut and Maine require triggers for their rules to go into effect. Cruz recognizes his bill faces an uphill battle. The Indiana Farm Bureau supports genetic engineering for foods, and big businesses are not going to like the bill. He argues that people should know what they're eating so they can make informed choices. Sustainability may be included in the next wave of USDA healthy eating guidelines. The Agriculture Department has a panel that helps draft plans for dietary guidelines. A preliminary recommendation has pushed for a more environmentally friendly diet with more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and less meat, particularly beef. Raising cattle for consumption causes more of a negative environmental impact than raising pork or chicken, as beef uses more land and creates more heat-trapping gases per calorie. The meat industry isn't thrilled with the draft, and members of Congress are arguing that environmental concerns shouldn't play into the dietary guidelines. The new recommendations are expected in about a year. And the alarm goes off in the morning, and you're like me. The first thing on your mind is your favorite mug filled with warm coffee. Researchers in Australia are saying the color of the mug has an influence on how we perceive the taste of the Java. In the study, 18 coffee drinkers were given the same cup of coffee in three different colored mugs, white, clear, and blue. Do you prefer your coffee strong? Then the white mug is for you. The coffee didn't taste as intense when it was served in the clear mug, and the blue mug was somewhere in the middle for participants. Researchers believe that participants may have found a higher intensity of taste in the white mug thanks to the bold color brown against the bright white color of the mug. The clear mug had the opposite effect, likely because participants experienced a diluted visual when drinking their cup of Java. For me, though, decaf only. You don't want to see me on caffeine. Find stories like these posted on our Twitter feed. Join the conversation at Earth Eats.
Links to these stories are collected in the latest podcast post. You can find that right up front on eartheats.org. Luann Johnson, thank you.
You've got it, Annie.
Demand for products that don't contain genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, is exploding. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer tells us what the label means and how a company gets it.
Plain Cheerios no longer contain GMOs. General Mills made the switch with the iconic cereal. And many other companies are seeking certification that their products don't have any genetically modified ingredients. Some shoppers are looking for the non-GMO seal. Megan Westgate of the Non-GMO Project, the main supplier of those labels, says demand is soaring.
We currently are at over $8.5 billion in annual sales of verified products.
Those are food items with ingredients that are less than 1% genetically modified. Westgate says that's a realistic standard, while totally GMO-free is not. General Mills is just one of the big food companies now selling non-GMO products.
Interestingly, with all of this traction in the natural sector, we're increasingly seeing more conventional companies coming on board and having their products verified.
So let's say you're a snack food company. You want that non-GMO label on a box of cookies. Where do you start? You might call Food Chain ID, a company in Fairfield, Iowa, that can shepherd you through the process. David Carter is the general manager.
We start looking at ingredients and we identify what are all the ingredients. And of course, the label itself doesn't always identify all those. So we need to be sure that we have a list of all the processing aids and carriers and all the inputs that go into the product.
Next, they figure out where each thing came from. Got honey in those cookies? You've even got to show that the bees who make that honey aren't foraging on genetically modified corn. When there's that risk, the chance an ingredient could contain a genetic modification, DNA testing is in order. In the lab here, grain samples are ground up in a mill and homogenized. Then a machine extracts the DNA so it can be analyzed. If that test finds no evidence of GMOs, you're clear to use that ingredient in your cookies. Carter says he can barely keep up with the number of inquiries coming in from companies that want certification.
The demand is now very, very high, and it has been for, you know, probably over a year in particular.
You might wonder how much it will cost you to get your cookies certified. Could be a couple of $100 the first time through. But if many of your ingredients are already non-GMO certified, you'll pay less. Even with the added interest, non-GMO products remain a small fraction of the marketplace. More than 90% of corn and soybeans grown in the United States contain genetically modified traits. And those two crops are ubiquitous in processed foods like packaged cookies. Still, if the current trend continues, it seems likely that some farmers will start considering seeds without GMOs. Plant breeder Alex Paez hopes his Central Iowa seed company, Genetic Enterprises International, can tap that market.
We are a very small company, so our strategy is to find niche markets for farmers that are looking for non-GMO products.
Farmers pay a premium to grow crops genetically modified to withstand pests, and so they can use herbicides to kill weeds. Driving an ancient red Massey Ferguson combine, Paez and his wife Mary Jane harvest corn without those traits.
Okay.
Sitting on a stool attached to the combine's chassis, Mary Jane collects samples of the grain as they go. This field contains mature plants grown from a new seed they're working on. In this lab, they will continue to study and improve their seed lines. Alex Paez says the goal is a competitive hybrid.
One of the main things is yield, you know, standability, consistent performance, disease tolerance, and things like that.
If these seeds meet those requirements without an expensive GM trait, farmers could potentially save some money on seed. And their grain might fetch a premium, especially as demand for non-GMO animal feed grows. Because the only way to end up with non-GMO certified meat is to raise animals on non-GMO feed. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
More stories like this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. Rebecca Lando is serious about potato pancakes.
I'm usually pretty forgiving about how people make things. I like interpretation, but when it comes to latkes, I judge very, very harshly.
What do you judge? Like, what makes a good latke?
That's a very good question. Texture, I think, is really key. I like them when they're really, like, kind of lacy, so they get crispy on the outside, but they're soft inside, but they still have a little bite to them. I don't like when they're kind of like just mashed potatoes that have been fried.
She came by her pickiness honestly. She learned all about latkes from her grandfather. She posts cooking videos on YouTube under the name Working Class Foodies. She took the show on the road to Florida to her grandfather's kitchen.
It's actually our grandfather's potato latke recipe, but he's 98 and can't really make them anymore. So when we were down visiting family, our mom showed us the way that our grandpa taught her how to make them.
basically watch us make them. And, you know, he's just correcting us the whole time and telling us that we're doing them wrong. And we finally serve them to him. And he's like, they're pretty good.
Oh. How is it, Dad?
A little sugar.
A little thicker.
She said thicker, you said sugar.
Yeah.
You have to make
family. What are you going to do? Lando released a cookbook also called Working Class Foodies in the summer of 2013. It does include a recipe for latkes, but she recommends using Yukon Gold for their smooth texture. Her grandpa prefers russet potatoes because they're the most affordable option. Lando isn't a chef. She doesn't even claim expertise in the kitchen. She learned how to eat seasonally and nutritiously on a budget out of necessity.
You know, I went to college in New York. I was, you know, a student with a very limited budget to spend on food. And I found that, like, the supermarkets had kind of sad quality produce, but they charged a lot of money for it. And right outside of my dorm was the Union Square Green Market 4 days a week. And the food there was beautiful, tasted amazing, and was actually more affordable than what was on offer at the supermarkets. I just kind of started, without trying to, like, have a philosophy or be part of a thing, just shopping at the Green Market.
Then, because of her budget, she had to keep her meals to under $8 a plate. That's still an expensive meal, especially if it's home-cooked. But Lando was comparing that to the price of a sad salad bar lunch in Manhattan in 2009. That's how she described it. She could have easily made it under that $8 mark if she cut meat out of her recipes. But this former vegetarian had two reasons for keeping the meat in.
A, that's been done, and B, that only addresses part of a problem. This is a very this country eats a lot of meat, and not a lot of it is grown or raised that well in terms of the animal welfare and the environment and the health once it gets on your plate. And so part of it was I also wanted to show how to eat high quality meat affordably, and the biggest part of that is to eat it in smaller amounts.
And choosing less popular cuts. Organ meats, anyone?
Tacos de lengua, which is, you know, beef tongue tacos, because that's an off cut. Or, you know, maybe you get a steak, because who doesn't love a nice big juicy steak? But the steak isn't the centerpiece of the meal. The salad and the vegetables that you serve with it are the centerpiece of the meal.
And don't buy the pre-packaged cuts.
Let's say that I really want to do, like, braised chicken thighs or something. I will actually get a whole chicken. First of all, it's a better value. You're getting more bang for your buck when you buy a whole chicken rather than, like, four chicken thighs. And you have more to work with. So, you know, your chicken thighs, and then you can break it down. You have the breasts. You know, you can save the bones. You can make a stock. There's a lot more you can do with that, you know, whatever it is that you spend on a whole chicken than the one meal, or maybe at best two meals, that you get out of just buying a package of chicken thighs.
Rebecca Lando will tell us how she's planning to cook those chicken thighs in the second half of the show. Also, still thinking about those latkes. I'm pretty sure Chef Daniel Orr could whip up some latkes for us. Stay tuned to hear what we find in our recipe archives. The top of our menu today is not an offcut of meat. It's not inexpensive. This is a treat. It's lamb ribs. Chef Bob Atkins says they're delicate. But Rebecca Lando would approve. You're only going to get a small portion out of these ribs. Let's see what Bob comes up with.
Lamb ribs aren't easy to find. You may be able to find them locally, but chances are you're only going to be able to get maybe a rack or two, which is fine. But they're small. It's about half the size of what a baby back rack of ribs would be. And they're also fairly expensive. So just like with most lamb, you really want to get the most flavor, the most finished product out of them that you can. And this process, this technique, really concentrates the flavor while keeping the integrity and the shape and the good look of ribs when they're finished.
Atkins is using sort of a hybrid of these two popular techniques.
So there's two schools of thought in ribs. There's the dry roasting or smoking, which is not using any liquid at all. There's also the braising or the steaming of the ribs before you finish them on a grill. this kind of incorporates the best of both worlds. We are utilizing our oven, putting the ribs out on a single sheet to roast them, but also we are regulating the moisture that is in that oven by a little bit of beer and a little bit of water, which keeps them moist and does some steaming as well as roasting.
And the rub? It's a semi-dry rub.
What we're going to do is we're going to rub these down. I'm going to move over to one of my favorite machines in the kitchen, the Vitamix. If anybody's out there, it's a shameless plug for the Vitamix.
Chef Bob's baby, that's what the Vitamix is labeled. True story. More with these lamb ribs coming up. Then,
you know, they can come from cases like these guys escaped, but pigs also fall off trucks on the way to slaughter, and then they don't really have a place where they can go live out their life.
We take a visit to Uplands Peak Sanctuary, and we speak with Michelle Pruitt. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods, now with 5 locations in Bloomington. Blooming Foods has supported locally produced food and artisanal goods since 1976. BloomingFoods.coop. Touchstone Wellness, providers of therapeutic massage and yoga instruction, offering a variety of healing massage styles and yoga levels at the corner of Buick Cadillac Boulevard and Auto Mall Road, one block east of College Mall Road. Touchstone Wellness Massage and Yoga, 812-337-3529 or 33RELAX. And Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated, now with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Earth Eats. Hi again. I'm Annie Corrigan, still with Chef Bob Adkins, who's loading ingredients for the rub for the lamb ribs into his beloved Vitamix.
First order of business, what was that?
That was one 11-ounce can of chipotle peppers and adobo. To that, I'm going to add a half cup of fish sauce. And I have a cup of brown sugar. Just a little bit more depth than regular sugar. It's got that molasses kind of bitter note to it.
And then you finish that off with what, like 8 cloves of garlic?
There was 8 or 10 cloves of garlic, depending on, you know, how many, how big they are. Just really quickly going to puree this. Just going to bring it together. This is just a rub. We've got heat and sour and sweet and salty, all of that going on right there. So really quickly, I'm just going to pulse this. Let the beauty of the 2.5 horsepower motor do its work. So now I'm going to take the rub that we just blended together, and I'm going to just pour.
You're just drizzling it on there.
Drizzling on there. And now I'm just kind of patting this in, rubbing it on like you do with a rub.
This is a real hands-on dish.
It is. Great food is hands-on. Getting to know your food, not just in a mental sense or where it came from, but also feeling it and touching it, and makes you more in tune. Almost forgot the most important part.
And he grabs his bottle of Budweiser.
I do grab the bottle of Budweiser. So I'm just going to pour this beer onto the sheet tray. And this is where that extra moisture comes in that we were talking about a minute ago, where if you didn't add this, the only moisture in the oven would be from the evaporating moisture from the lamb meat itself. After an hour, we're going to check again. And if all that moisture is evaporated, we can add a little bit more beer, a little water. You could use white wine, really anything that you wanted to. You could even use some orange juice or lime juice. So we are, in effect, steaming and roasting at the same time.
We'll be eating these after a couple of hours in the oven. These ribs are topped with preserved Meyer lemons to add some acidity to cut that fatty richness. And on the side, simply roasted herb potatoes and leeks. Now, this recipe is something to try in your kitchen, absolutely. Follow the recipe at eartheats.org. Michelle Pruitt says farm animals are out of sight, out of mind, and that's partly why she helped found Uplands Peak Sanctuary. They rescue animals that would be killed for food and let them live out their lives on their property in southern Indiana. They opened their barn doors in the fall of 2012, and now they're housing four of the most charismatic pigs you'd ever have the pleasure of meeting. Earth Eats' Lauren Glapa has this audio postcard.
My name is Michelle Pruitt. And I'm co-founder, along with my husband, Mark Pruitt. You know, they can come from cases like these guys escaped, but pigs also fall off trucks on the way to slaughter. They fall off transport trucks, and then they don't really have a place where they could go live out their life.
How did you get her on your property? What's her story?
Okay. Annie and her brother, Andy, actually came from Minneapolis. And although it's illegal, there's a lot of backyard butcher that happens. So they believe that, you know, these guys escaped from someone's backyard. And I'm pretty sure Annie led the escape because she's pretty smart, pretty spunky, and definitely of the two has been the leader. So Andy still had twine wrapped around his back legs, and they were roaming in a field in the middle of downtown Minneapolis. So the local animal control picked them up, and, you know, their story was on Facebook because there really wasn't anyone locally that would take in a farm pig that, you know, knew how to care for them, but most importantly was going to let them live out their life.
What do you get from having them in your life?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the immense gratitude comes from, and it is hard work, so don't get me wrong. You know, when it was negative 20 and I had to come, you know, fill waters and scoop poop, I probably had to count my blessings a little more that day. But you know, really to see these animals and to get to know them as the individuals that they are, just the relationship that I already have with them, just being with them a few months. You know, like yesterday I came in and snuggled up with Andy, and Andy, I like to tuck them in. So I kind of put their straw around them real good every day. And Annie just kind of squeezed in between me and Andy and laid her head on my knee and just let me love on her. You know, for me, I'm glad that I'm able to do that for them. But there's also this piece of knowing that I was part of the cycle of violence that all animals are in, that it's kind of like in some way I get to make up for that now.
Michelle Pruitt of Uplands Peak Sanctuary. Information about how to get involved at uplandspeaksanctuary.org.
We're going to make latkes today, which are potato pancakes.
All right, Chef Daniel Orr does have some latkes for us.
And to about two to three cups of grated potatoes, we're adding about 6 eggs. Okay, now we're going to flavor this up. We're going to add some diced red onion. Of course, our favorite garlic. Something that Grandma might not have put in these, we're going to add a little lemon zest. We love our zest. It gives you the flavor of citrus without giving you the acidity and also the liquid. So anytime you're looking for that kind of punchy, lemony flavor and you don't want to have a lot of acid, add the zest. Okay, we add a little bit of chopped thyme and rosemary. Finish it with some scallions and a little bit of rice flour. And we just want to have enough flour in there to pull it together so we can form little pancakes with it. And these will be kind of like hash browns almost, little hash brown pancakes. All right, I've got some nice hot oil on. Okay, and I'm just making little mounds of these in the pan. Once we get them in and they set, I'm just going to pat them down a little bit to flatten them out. And once they're crispy on the first side, we'll turn them over, and they just take a couple minutes to cook.
Serve these with some homemade applesauce. Nice. Now, if we could only bring in Rebecca Lando's grandfather for the taste test. Pictures, recipes, and everything but the taste test at eartheats.org.
I think part of why I mentioned chicken thighs before is because I have a whole chicken.
Rebecca Lando, still with us today. She's the author of Working Class Foodies. This is what she's planning for her dinner tonight.
And I'm going to break it down. And the thighs, I'm going to leave the bones in and the skin on and brown them and then braise them with some canned crushed tomatoes and some Kalamata olives and some capers and a whole lot of garlic and a little bit of spices. And I think we're probably still going to have some leftover latkes still from the batch that we made last night. And a really nice, very peppery arugula salad.
Incorporating some leftovers in there, nice. Her cookbook is a lot of fun, and it's easy for beginning cooks to latch onto. Lando says the whole idea is to help people reclaim cooking for themselves.
So long as you're in the kitchen and cooking, you're doing something right.
A good place to start in the kitchen? Soups. Remember how picky she was about her latkes? Well, not in the case of soups. Soups are more flexible. You can do more of it by feel than by recipe, she says.
Probably one of my favorite soup recipes, I would have to say, and like in terms of getting people to get into cooking and into soups, is probably French onion soup, because there's not a lot of ingredients involved. You're mostly spending your money on cheese, and it's one of those things where it's very forgiving, because all you want to do is cook a lot of onions slow and low. So it's an exercise in patience rather than some complicated, you know, trial by fire cooking kind of situation. And then you just put in beef stock and, you know, bonus points if you make your own beef stock. Absolutely no problem if you use store-bought beef stock. Then you just cover it with cheese and it's amazing.
Sounds easy enough, but I don't know. I like recipes and rules and guidelines. If you're like me, check out Earth Eats on Twitter. We're posting lots of different soup recipes to try. Make a big batch, and there you go, lunch for next week. Hope to hear from you at twitter.com/EarthEats. Special thanks this week to Megan Betts for speaking with Rebecca Lando for today's show. Much love also to Bob Atkins, Aabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Mark Chilla, Lauren Glappa, Luann Johnson, Liz Leslie, Daniel Orr, Casey Zakin, and everyone at Harvest Public Media. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods, now with 5 locations in Bloomington. Blooming Foods has supported locally produced food and artisanal goods since 1976. BloomingFoods.coop. Touchstone Wellness, providers of therapeutic massage and yoga instruction, offering a variety of healing massage styles and yoga levels at the corner of Buick Cadillac Boulevard and Auto Mall Road, one block east of College Mall Road. Touchstone Wellness Massage and Yoga, 812-337-3529 or 33RELAX. And Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated, now with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media. Will Murphy, executive producer. Thank you for being here, connecting with Earth Eats today. I'm Annie Corrigan.